Praise be to God. I hope you feel well. I'm just going to share a number of scriptures with you. For me, it's a very special day. All this trip has been extraordinary, and in every city, God's people came from far and near to hear the word of God. And I'm almost sure it's my last trip to this country before the return of Christ. And my expectation was that as many as wish to be ready for the return of Christ, that they should come and hear the last message, the message before our Lord returns. Our subject is the return of Christ. In connection with that, the calling out time, preparation time, getting ready to honestly believe, that the Lord will come in our time, and only those who are ready will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And therefore, we have one great desire: to know that God's people recognize the day, the message, line up with the word and will of God, forsake all their own ways, their own ideas and teachings, and really become part of the plan of salvation at this time. We all understand, for instance, on a Sunday like this, how many millions on earth they worship. But who has recognized the day and time? In Luke 19, our Lord went to the Mount of Olives. And there were two groups. One group was singing, "Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord." And Zechariah 9, verse 9, was fulfilled. And then there were those who did not like the singing. And they were the scribes and Pharisees who did not want the people to follow Jesus Christ. They were keeping the people away from what God was doing at that time. And so the scripture was fulfilled. John chapter 1, our Lord came to his own, and his own received him not. And then, as I said in Luke 19, our Lord went to the Mount of Olives. Read from verse 42 to 44. He looked over Jerusalem and wept bitterly, saying, "You did not recognize the day of your visitation." They played religion. They kept the Sabbath. Were singing the Psalms. Doing everything. Generation after generation. Time after time. But now God was making history. The promise the Lord God gave in Genesis chapter 3, that the seed of God would come through the woman and bruise the serpent's head. To the last promise, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Call his name Emmanuel. All the promises from the Old Testament were fulfilled. 2 Samuel 7, 14, I will be father unto him, he will be son unto me. Psalms 2, verse 7, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Every scripture was fulfilled at the first coming of Christ. But the scribes of that day were blind leaders leading the blind. And this is repeating and repeating throughout the history. To just imagine for a few moments waiting for the Messiah to come, 4,000 years. 4,000 years had come and gone since Adam till Christ. And then, when all the prophecies became a reality, missing that day they were waiting for. It was the only hope they had, the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. And when he came, he was not received. He came to his own. And again, because the scribes rejected to be baptized by the baptism of John, and that is Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, they refused to be baptized by John, and thereby actually rejecting the plan of God for them. God has a plan of salvation. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers, are you listening? But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized by John. This is a very serious scripture. Being a scribe, teaching others, teaching, and everybody greeting, Rabbi, yes? And then rejecting what God had promised. And here we are, beloved. Here we are. Don't play religion. Don't follow religious leaders. Search the scriptures. Search the word of God. Now, John the Baptist was a promised prophet. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight a way for our God. In Malachi 3, 1, our Lord himself said, I will send my messenger, I, the Lord, will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. And when the time was fulfilled, the angel came down from heaven, speaking to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, especially from verse 11, and giving the promise about the birth of John the Baptist. So here we are. If God fulfills promises, if God does things according to the prophetic utterances, we have to watch and see the Bible being a living reality with us and have God's grace upon us to recognize what God is doing according to His word in our day. So make it a point. John the Baptist was not a scribe, not just a doctor of divinity. He was a promised prophet, a promised prophet. His ministry was part of the plan of salvation, not part of a denomination or part of a religion, but part of the plan of salvation God from beginning had ordained to be and to happen. So this is very important to know. So when our Lord went to the Mount of Olives, weeping bitterly and saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often did I want to gather you as a hen would gather her brood, and you did not want. And you know what happened? He pronounced judgment. If we refuse grace, judgment is surely to come. And those who will not be ready for the return of Christ, they will have to go through judgments which will come upon the earth. So the last message we now preach and share with God's people is the promised word for this day. And beloved, I'm 80. Usually people take their rest, they stay home. Why do I travel? In the past 50 years, every month, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks gone, 2 weeks home, 2 weeks gone, year after year, month after month. Why? Because of a direct commission I received from the Lord to go from city to city and from country to country to preach the word of God. And all the scripture had to be fulfilled. Our Lord in Matthew 24 spoke about the things which would happen before He returns, about all the earthquakes, about the false prophets, false Christ, and all the things which would take place on earth before our Lord returns. But then He came to the main point in verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom. But please understand, not an empty gospel, a full gospel. And many churches and denominations call themselves full gospel. But the gospel they are preaching is not full. Some is half empty, some is altogether empty. What does full gospel mean? Everything God promised, everything God ordained must be part of our preaching right now. And the New Testament church must be restored to where she was at the very beginning. So please understand, if I share the testimony with you, even about the ministry of Brother Branham, and I hope you heard about it. And to be honest with you, I'm in the international conventions partaking since 1949. And since 1949, many, many years have come and gone. And I know the internationally renowned evangelists, from Billy Graham to Oral Roberts to Tommy Hicks to T.L. Osborne to Murray Cerullo, and name them. I know them all personally. For some, I translated. But then we come to the point in 1955, when Brother Branham came to Germany, I saw Bible days. I saw a ministry, apostolic, prophetic ministry, and just service after service. After he gave the message, there was the altar call, and after the altar call, there were about 15, 20 or 25 in the prayer line, and God would show him a vision. For every person he prayed, God showed him a vision. And he could tell the person the name, where they came from. He could tell his sister, you come from Hamburg. You work as a nurse. I see you in a hospital. Just all the details. He could tell a brother, you're not from this city. You come from Berlin. Your problem is this and this. He could tell a couple, you're not from this country. You come from Zurich, Switzerland, and your daughter is born blind. But God will heal her today. And beloved, I was in such a tension when Brother Branham was about to pray for this girl who was born blind. I had never seen something in my life. I was moving on my chair. I was so nervous. I thought, if Brother Branham wants to pray for a blind person, he should do it after the service. So if it happens, okay. If not, nobody will, you know. It was the first time in my life that I attended such a meeting. So I was really sitting in the third row, and I felt sorry for Brother Branham, because he prayed, but after that, I felt sorry for me. I felt sorry for me. I tell you, case after case, and God confirmed the word. And he was the one. Many, many refer to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Brother Branham also referred to John chapter 14, verse 12. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. It's a promise in the Word of God. So he also referred to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. The Son can do nothing, but what he sees the Father do, the Son does likewise. So the same ministry our Lord had as Son of Man. Even here, beloved, we have to pay absolute and complete attention to what is written in the Word of God. For instance, if we find the term Son of Man, leave it Son of Man. If you find the term Son of God, leave it Son of God. If you find Son of Abraham, Son of David, please leave it how it is and where it is. Never exchange a scripture. Leave every scripture where and how it is. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we are told that Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham and the son of David. Then over 70 times in the four Gospels, our Lord is called Son of Man. But from Romans chapter 1 to Jude, the last verse, not a single time, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of God. There is a divine order in the Word of God. There is a divine order in the plan of salvation. For instance, in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 6, we read our Lord said, the Son of Man will ascend to where he was before. Understand for one moment, if somebody would replace Son of Man with Son of God, then the Son of God would have had to exist already in heaven. I tell you, beloved, I'm not a prophet, but God gave me a teaching ministry, a profound teaching ministry, and to share the important things with the children of God. As Son of God, our Lord is Savior. And through the Son of God, we were placed back into our original position as sons and daughters of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. As Son of Man, he is prophet. As Son of David, he is king. As Son of Abraham, he is the heir of all things, and we are co-heirs with him. So every description, every title, every name has a significance and must be placed and understood by the grace of God and by divine revelation. Nobody will ever see these things unless they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. Even in Matthew chapter 16, when our Lord spoke, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It is a divine revelation that God grants to us by his grace. And then even if you go to the last 22 chapters of the Bible, Revelation of Jesus Christ, the Greek word for revelation, everybody knows, is apocalypsis. And what does apocalypsis mean? For instance, if I would take my handkerchief and cover this, and nobody would know what is under the cover. The moment I take the cover away, it's apocalypsis, it's revelation. Then you see what was behind the veil, what was under the cover. Then you enter the holiest of holies, and then you see. So we understand the message of the hour is the final revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the final message to the bride of Christ. Even the word bride, you don't find it a single time in the epistles of Peter or James or Paul, not a single time. But then you come to Revelation 19 verse 7, and his bride has made herself ready. You come to Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride will say, come, and they that hear. So the apostles, everyone had a certain ministry. The apostle Paul had to establish local churches. He had to look for the divine order in a local church. But my ministry is not that. Even you might believe this or not, but when the Lord called me with a tremendous, all-commanding, all-penetrating voice on April the 2nd, and he said, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. I shared this, I think, the last time when I was here. So I do have a direct commission from the Lord. Whether you believe it or not, it's not my problem, it's your problem. But our Lord said if he would send somebody and we would receive that one he sends, then we would receive him, because he is the one who does the sending and does the calling out of of every denomination, even at this time. But also in that calling, on April the 2nd, 62, as you hear my voice now, my servant, store in food, for a great famine is coming. Then thou shalt stand amidst the people to give out the food. Then came the next thing. My servant, don't establish local churches. And then came the final thing. Don't publish a songbook, for it is a sign of a denomination. And if you look into denominations, every denomination have the songbook. Every denomination, they have the same songbook throughout the country and throughout the earth. But when the Lord called me, he gave me direct instructions of what I should do, what the ministry that he is sending me for would have to accomplish. And then it was December the 3rd, also a Monday, when I was together with Brother Branham. And when he said, the food you are to put in store is the word of God promised for this day. And then even saying, wait with the giving out until you get the rest of the food. So by the grace of God, we are now in the most important time of the history of the New Testament church. The decision you make now, you will take with you to eternity. And now is the time when it's fulfilled. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And even in Matthew chapter 13, when our Lord spoke the seven parables, he said, blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see. And I can even say, blessed are the hearts that believe. Blessed are the hearts that receive the word of God promised to us. So this is absolutely important, not to just sing and have services. What did our Lord say in Matthew chapter 15? And the same he said in Mark chapter 7. In vain do they worship my teaching, for doctrines, the commandments of men. If there are man-made teachings in your church, all the worship is in vain. And I tell you why. Because our Lord said in John chapter 4, woman, the time comes when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, you just say something, and God is not listening. Why should he listen to babbling? No. And to pray according to the word of God, you must be in the will of God. You must be in the will of God. So these things go together. The word of truth, the spirit of truth, and the children of God who believe every word of God the way it is written. And beloved, first God makes promises. And when the time comes, he fulfills what he promised. In Genesis chapter 18, already in Genesis chapter 15, God gave the promise, after 400 years, I will bring your people out of the strange land. In Genesis 18, he gave the promise to Abraham, in a year from now, I will come back, and your wife Sarah will have a son. First, God makes promises, and when the time comes, the promises are being fulfilled. And then the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, made the statement, ye, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. The children of promise believe the word of promise and they receive the spirit of promise. So there is a divine harmony in the body of Christ, a divine harmony in the church of the living God. And now the true bride of Christ is being restored to that divine harmony, back to the word of God. For instance, when our Lord gave the promise in Malachi chapter 4, everybody knows Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. This is the day of salvation. This is the time of grace. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. But this day of salvation began and will end, and then will be the day of the Lord. And if you go to Joel chapter 2, from verse 28 to 31, sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day of the Lord comes. And imagine for one moment the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago in his first sermon referred to that scripture in the Old Testament. You find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day comes. So, beloved, there is a divine harmony between Old and New Testament. There is a divine harmony. What the prophet said, what the apostles, what our Lord said. But all things must be placed into that divine order. For instance, in Matthew 24, our Lord spoke about three things. When will the temple be destroyed? What is the sign of your coming? And what about the end of the world? And then he gave the answers. He gave the answers. And then he said the return or the coming of the Lord would be like the lightning going from the east to the west. And then you read about the great tribulation. And after that verse of the great tribulation, you read, then you will see the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds. You want me to read it? I'm just stating these things, beloved. Hopefully that everybody knows the scriptures and you're not just newcomers. But here in Matthew 24, just to let you know how precise everything is, in verse 27, it says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then comes the part of the tribulation, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. But the bride will not go through the tribulation. The bride will be taken to glory before the tribulation, before the judgments, before the great day of the Lord comes. And if you read Revelation chapter 6 from verse 12, you find the opening of the sixth seal. And many of you know about the opening of the seals in 1963 when Brother Branham was commissioned to return to Jeffersonville and to preach on the seven seals. So whatever John saw on the Isle of Patmos that would take place, Brother Branham spoke about it in March 1963. And just before He spoke on the seals. I was together with him. But also there, you must be in the same Holy Spirit to understand what he said in the divine light and take all things back into the Word of God. For instance, if you only take what Brother Branham said on December the 30th, 1962, if you don't take what he said in March, 63, or what he said in August, 1964, if you don't take every part, everything he said pertaining to a certain subject, you miss it. It's like with what our Lord said. If you only take Matthew 28, you can 1,000 times say, oh, the Lord commanded that we should baptize in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. But if you don't know the name, if you're baptizing in titles, you can use a scripture. And the enemy might turn that scripture. Yeah? But if you take Matthew 28 to Acts chapter 2, repent everyone and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You must go from place to place. By the way, the Great Commission is in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in Luke 24, and in John chapter 20. You must take everything our Lord said after his resurrection in the Great Commission. You must take it. In Matthew 28, the emphasis is on the name, baptizing them into the name. What is the name in which God revealed himself as our Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on earth, and in us by the Holy Spirit? What is the New Testament covenant name? The name above every name. Every knee shall bow in that name. And our Lord could say, when you see me, you see the Father. So we understand. Our Lord spoke in parables. And if he would have said in Matthew 28, announcing the name, then every preacher on earth would know the name without revelation. And this is not right and not true. Everything God grants to us comes by divine revelation. Even if you go to Matthew chapter 10, where our Lord said, you will not be finished with the cities of Israel before you see the Son of Man coming. And in Matthew 16, he said, many of those who stand here will not see death until they've seen the Son of Man come in his kingdom. And then you go to Revelation chapter 1, when John saw the Son of Man walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks, having the seven stars in his right hand. You have to go to the Word of God. You must go from Scripture to Scripture to have the right understanding. The right understanding. Now coming to the main point. Now before the return of Christ, everything must be restored. And friends, the promise is not only in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, our Lord in Matthew 17. And in Matthew 17, you find something very special. It's the mountain of transfiguration. When the supernatural cloud came down, and the voice from that cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And three words follow. Three words. Hear ye him. In Matthew 3:17, The voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." But in Matthew 17:5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." So he is the one who does the talking. He is the one who reveals his own word. And he said, "The world will see me no more, but ye will see me. I will be with you. I will be in you." So we have to understand the promise from the Old Testament our Lord repeated in the New Testament. Coming down from the mountain, in Matthew 17, verse 10, the disciples were asking, "Master, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come?" And then our Lord gave the answer in verse 11. "Surely Elijah shall first come and restore all things." And restore all things. And also in Mark chapter 9, verse 12, "Surely or truly, Elijah shall first come and restore all things." So, beloved, these are words from the lips of our Lord. And we, as true children of God, believe every word of God. And especially when it comes to promises which are directly connected to the plan of salvation, please don't miss the day of God's visitation. Otherwise, you will miss the fulfillment of that promise. You know, first, we must believe the promise before the promise can be fulfilled in us and through us. That's why the Apostle Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, this is one of the main scriptures to fully understand what is being meant by the promises that God made unto us. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. "For all the promises of God," not one or two, "for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." By us. But first, before God can fulfill his promise with us, we have to believe it. If you don't believe his promises, how can you see the fulfillment? It's just absolutely impossible. You're outside the will of God and outside the kingdom of God. And then in verse 21, now he who establishes us in Christ, with you in Christ, and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. These are scriptures we have to share with you. Many are anointed. We now have 550 million Pentecostal charismatic people on earth. It's history. You can go to your internet and check it. 550 million charismatic meetings, taking off the coat, waving like this and saying, "That's how the Holy Spirit is moving." No, the man is moving the coat, not the Holy Spirit. But the people, they are, oh, they praise and they laugh and they dance and the music goes with it. I don't need any music. I don't need any dance. No, but I need to know the will of God. I need to know the plan of salvation. I need to know the promised word of God for this day, to have part in what God is doing right now. And so I have to inform you, there was a special day in the life of Brother Branham, as there was a special day in the life of John the Baptist. And on June the 11th, 1933, that was 80 years ago, 80 years ago in the last June, when he was baptizing in the Ohio River, just about to baptize the 17th person, and he heard a voice saying, "Look up." And the second time, a bit stronger, "Look up." And when he looked up, there was that supernatural cloud visible to over 4,000 people. The Associated Press gave an article, "A supernatural light appears over a Baptist preacher." And from that supernatural light, the voice said these words: "As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ." And you know, beloved, since I came to know these things, my heart was many times broken when I saw the great evangelists building their own kingdoms in the kingdom of God, having their big programs, their big programs. But God is not in a man-made program. God is only in His Word, and we must be in the promised Word to be also part of the plan of salvation. So when I came to know this, and that was in 1955 when I heard Brother Branham, but especially in 1958 at the Voice of Healing Convention in Dallas, Texas, when all the greatest evangelists were preaching in the morning services, afternoon services, and Brother Branham was the main speaker in the evening services. So I watched one day, I watched the second day, I watched the third day, and oh, I said, but there's such a difference between all these other men and between Brother Branham and the ministry the Lord had given to him. So I just had to go to see him and to speak to him. And my question was, "Brother Branham, I see that your ministry is so different. Please tell me, what is it all about?" And then, I never forget June the 12th, 1958, in Dallas, Texas, USA, at that Voice of Healing Convention arranged by Gordon Lindsay. Even David Duplessis, all these great men were there. So friends, from that day, I came to understand what the message of the hour must accomplish. And when Brother Branham, at the end of that conversation, said, "Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message." Beloved brothers and sisters, from that day, I felt there's a purpose of God in my life. And then, of course, when the direct call to the ministry came, I have no choice. I must share even the things God has done in our day and time. And what God has done through the ministry of His servant and prophet is to bring us back, to restore, as we shared with you, Matthew 17:11, He will restore. Please remember the word restore. He will restore. And also Mark 9:12, He will restore. What does restore mean? What does it mean? If this building would collapse because of an earthquake, if it's restored, it would be as it was before. Every window, every light, the heights, all the measurements would be the same if it is properly restored. So the New Testament church must be restored. It's not only a message, it's a message of restoration, a message of calling out, a message of getting ready for the return of Christ. And therefore, we must emphasize that this message of direct restoration is now preceding the second coming of Christ. And please believe what God said in His Word. He does all things. First, He makes a promise, and then He fulfills that promise. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, we're now at the end of the end time. I could share many, many things with you, especially with Jerusalem and with Israel. I've been to Israel 25 times. The first time in 1964, when the city was still divided. I love Israel. My father spoke Yiddish. I just love God's people. And Israel remains God's chosen people. And God started with Israel, and God will finish with Israel. But first He takes out a people for His name. But the promise that all the nations would be blessed, you find in Genesis chapter 12 from 1 to 3. When the first time our Lord met Abraham, He said, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse." So please bless Israel in the name of the Lord. But just for your understanding, there were 21 points and sites that were under Jordanian rulership until 1967. And now these 21 sites and places and so forth, the Roman Church claims that they have a right to all these places which were under Jordanian rulership until 1967. And now the last point was about Mount Zion. And everyone who knows or has ever been to Jerusalem, Mount Zion is the highest part. You come right from the Mount Moriah, which is a temple mountain. You just go up, and the very tip is Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is the place where the Lord will start His rulership. From Mount Zion, He will cry like the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Word says in Isaiah chapter 2, the Word will go forth from Jerusalem and from Mount Zion. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was on the upper room on Mount Zion. And now the government in Israel have given consent that the Roman Church can have a small place where all the Catholics from all the earth will come and have special worship. And when I read that in the internet, I had it before me, I just wrote beneath, just for a short time, so the covenant can be made. But we cannot go into all these details. I would have to come and stay here for a week to give you the insight into the things which are now taking place, especially in the Holy Land. But our concern is to be ready, to be called out, to be restored, to be ready for the return of Christ. How many have heard about Brother Branham, about his ministry? How many heard about the things God has done and is still doing in our time? Please, I repeat, and maybe a number of times, it is absolutely necessary, it's important to know the day, to know the hour, to know the promised word for this day. What did our Lord say? Three times. In Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and in Luke 21, speaking of the things which would take place before he returns, and then making this statement, when you see, not when you read, when you see all these things come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draws near. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And then making the statement, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Three times. You can read the same statement. So we understand by the grace of God, we are the last generation before the return of Christ. And even in Matthew 24:14, our Lord said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then the end will be. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but we understand the time because we see the fulfillment of Bible prophecies in our day. And even in this regard, in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 16, the man of God spoke about the second coming of Christ and said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the coming and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we shared with you the word. And there the apostle Peter could say, we were eyewitnesses. And you know what? You can read it. He even heard the voice that spoke to our Lord and Savior, thou art my beloved son. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, you can read it. He said, we heard this voice when we were with him on the holy mountain. So there were eyewitnesses, ear witnesses at that time of what God had done. And so, yeah, you can read it in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says here, for he has received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellency of glory. And then, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And now, the statement of the Apostle Peter, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard. We were there, we heard. Beloved, a witness must have seen something. You cannot be a witness if you're not seeing something. How can you testify in any case? Let's say there's an accident and witnesses are called. They have to know, they have to have seen something. All the true men of God were witnesses. They saw, they heard, they had part in what God was doing. Even our Lord in Acts chapter 1, ye are my witnesses. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So I'm an eyewitness of what God has done in our time. And therefore, there is a responsibility that goes with it. Would you think that I would travel even to come here? And as I told you, I'm traveling months after months, just returning from Australia, returning from the Philippines, returning from China, returning from Mongolia, and going east and west and south and north, and sleepless nights and night flights, and day becomes night and night becomes day. Why am I here today? Why? To let you know that the return of our Lord is very near. To let you know that God kept his promise and ordained Brother Branham as his promised prophet for this day. And as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so he was sent with a message. The message of the promised word of God for this day. Not his own message. Nothing outside the kingdom of God. Everything God does is in the word of God. And you can check it by the word of God. And as we read, especially the two scriptures, and he shall restore all things. Beloved, let's say that again. Every teaching, everything must be restored. The first and the last sermon must be the same. The first and the last baptism must be the same. The first and the last Lord's Supper must be the same. There must be a total restoration of all things. And if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was writing, I lay the foundation with you, but please see to it how you will build upon that foundation. How are you going to build on that foundation? And he said, no other foundation can be laid. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, but he's also the headstone. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. As he was in the beginning, he is at the end the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have to return to Bible days. There must be a restoration of all things by the grace of God. But first, we must hear the promise. We must come to believe that promise and expect it and expect it. If you don't know what God promised, you don't know what to expect. So please, when you hear the promise today, I will send you Elijah to restore all things. What did Elijah do? He took the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes, rebuilt the altar which was torn down, put the sacrifice on the altar, put the water upon the sacrifice, and then he prayed, Lord God, let it be known today that you are the only God in Israel and I'm your servant and that I have done all these things according to your word. And then you read in verse 37 that the Lord God had turned their hearts back to him, not the heads, the hearts. In the heads we have arguments, but in the hearts we believe. We believe every word of God. And therefore, there are many, many scriptures I would love to share with you. Let us go to Romans so that you will understand a little of the plan, or as much as possible from and in the plan of salvation. If you are a true child of God, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you know about the experience of having received the forgiveness of sins, knowing that the blood of the Lamb of God was shed for our redemption, knowing that God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself, knowing what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant that is shed for many. He shed his blood, he gave his life to redeem us, to redeem us. And therefore, we have a complete redemption. And it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you that raised him up, he will also raise your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So if we are redeemed by the blood, that's one wonderful thing. But then the Holy Spirit must enter our soul. One phase, all our past is done away with. Our sins are forgiven. God has pardoned us. God has received us. But then we must hear the word of God. The word is the seed. The word is the seed. Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, the word is the seed. For every natural birth, you need a seed. You need a uniting in love. You need a seed. For every natural birth, for the spiritual birth, you need a seed. And the seed is the word of God. And that's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 18, that we're born again by the seed of the everlasting word of God. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, born again by the everlasting seed of the word of God. Beloved, the blood is so important, but the word is also so important, and the spirit is so important. Three testify, water, blood, and spirit. And we must have these three things. We must be in total and complete harmony with God. Not only talk about plan of salvation, but find our place in the Holy Scriptures and say, okay, this is what also applies to me. And then it says here in the same chapter in verse 29, Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foresaw, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So here we have the complete picture of the complete redemption in the plan of salvation, understanding that God has fulfilled every promise pertaining to the plan of salvation. And here is the mystery. Because God had made Adam and Eve with a free will, knowing that they would make a wrong decision, he had to take responsibility for redeeming. He had to take the responsibility to redeem. So redemption has taken place. And because the original sin happens in the body of flesh and blood, our Lord had to come into a body of flesh and blood to take our sins that we have done in this body, to take our sins upon him and bear them right to the cross and give us redemption and the forgiveness of sins, right to the transformation of our natural bodies. Mortality will take on immortality. And just as our Lord, after the resurrection, he had a body, a resurrection body. And we read it to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here we have a number of verses dealing with what is going to happen with us. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Our Lord conquered death and hell and rose on the third day and could say to John on the Isle of Patmos, I was dead, but I live forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. But did you know that it happened for you and me? That the whole plan of redemption is God's work for you and with you, with all of us. God included us into his plan of redemption. And in here, it goes on to say in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. All be made alive. And then verse 23, but every man in his own order, in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. They that are Christ's at his coming. And this is what this service is all about the second coming of Christ, about being prepared, about being restored. Those at his coming. And then comes the end. It says then in verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy, yes, is death, and shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. Death will be no more. And now these wonderful words here, in verse 43, we read, it is sown in disorder, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Praise be to God. How wonderful is the Word of God. We have a full information of what God had planned and of what is going to take place. And then it says here in verse 47, the first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man is a Lord from heaven. The second man is a Lord from heaven. Luke chapter 2 verse 11, today Christ the Lord is born in the city of David. The same I am, the same Lord who walked in the Garden of Eden, the same one who came to Abraham, the same one who appeared to Moses, the same who spoke to and through the prophets, the great I am. And in John chapter 8, I think it's verse 58, our Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. But in the Old Testament, he was not yet Son. He was Lord, Lord, Lord. And only by the Holy Spirit we get the revelation that we can say, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. You can only say that by the Holy Spirit, not another person, the same I am. The same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we are placed back into our position as sons and daughters of God, and at the return of Christ, this mortal body will take on immortality, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That is what the scripture says. Let us read verse 49 and then verse 51. In verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. Beloved brothers and sisters, before the body can be changed, the heart must be changed. The life must be changed. The inside must be changed first. And in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31, our Lord said, I make a new covenant. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. And if we are born again, we have received a new life of God. The life that was in Christ lives in all the redeemed, all who are purchased by the blood of the Lamb. The same life that was in Christ is in all the redeemed. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, he that has the Son has eternal life, and he that has not the Son has not eternal life. So believe with all your heart. God is trustworthy. You can believe God. You can believe every promise, every word God made, because God is responsible to fulfill every promise he made, but we are responsible to believe every promise. And here in verse 54 it says, so when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed into victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed into victory. Beloved, we have a wonderful God, wonderful promises, and we believe every promise God made. But let me summarize. There are many, many scriptures that I love to share with you. But if you're a child of God, from this day, you will believe the promise for this day. You will believe that God has sent a messenger with the message of restoration. You will believe that before the return of Christ, there will be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just as it was at the beginning. Just as it was at the beginning. But at that time, the vessels must be clean. And please understand Matthew 25 in the correct way. When the last message is given, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Who is going to meet the bridegroom? Only the bride. Only the bride. And I usually say, almost in every service, just as it is in the natural. If a marriage is announced, only the bride prepares because she has the promise. All the other ladies continue as usual. And so it is now. Only those who are part of the bride of Jesus Christ, they will hear the voice of the bridegroom and they will prepare. All the other churches will go in their own ways, will believe what they believe and do what they do, baptize as they baptize. They will go on in their own ways. But all who are part of the bride of Jesus Christ, they will hear the message of the bridegroom, they will be restored, they will come out, and they will prepare by the grace of God, recognizing the day and the message of this hour. So, beloved, by the grace of God, as we shared to you from the Word of God, we are that generation that sees all these things fulfilled. One more admonition from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here in the first five verses, the man of God refers to Israel, how the Lord God had brought them out of Egypt, how they went through the Red Sea, how God did the great things. And it says here in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual food? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of a spiritual rock, and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But please read with me, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Beloved, not the beginning is going to be crowned, the end will be crowned. They who will endure to the end, who will go God's way right from beginning to the end, who will not stop half the way, but go all the way with God, return to be obedient to every word of God. So it's not enough to drink from the spiritual rock. It's not enough to eat the spiritual food, but to do the will of God, to come into oneness with God, to agree with every word of God, and especially as we emphasize the message of the hour, return to God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 14, the apostle really comes to the point, ye my people, come out from among them and be a separate, says the Lord, and don't touch any unclean thing, and then I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. And it says there, what is light to do with darkness? What is Christ to do with Belial? What? Please understand, beloved, there are two unities coming forth right now. One, all the denominations join with Rome. But we don't go back to Rome, we go back to Jerusalem. We go back to the apostolic days. We go back to the original foundation. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And this is our time to return. And I'm not judging, but I must tell you the truth. All who unite in the Antichrist system, they go back to Rome. We now have 349 Protestant directions, denominations, and churches joined in the World Council of Churches, 349. And they all look to Rome. And the Pope has invited them all and said, you're not even churches. You're not churches. The Pope said, there's only one church, and that is the Mother Church, and that's the Catholic Church. So the Pope invites all the Protestant churches and directions to return into the Mother Church. And therefore, the word of God, ye my people, come out from among them. Don't go with them back to Rome. Come out, come back to Jerusalem. Line up with the word and will of God. Don't be deceived, but believe according to the word of Almighty God. This is God's time for God's people. So, we understand what is going on right now. Brothers and sisters, I could share many things with you. And I do believe that the return of our Lord is within reach, very near. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But as I mentioned before, if 80 years ago, William Branham was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And by the grace of Almighty God, I was used to take this message personally to 157 countries in the past 50 years. And now we serve God's people in 172 countries worldwide. Worldwide. They're connected through internet, and I still have programs, TV programs, in Australia, New Zealand, USA, Canada, Russia, in many different places, sharing day and night, using the time to share the promised word of God for this day, to give the last call, to tell God's people to come out from all denominations, who go back to Rome, join the Lord, one by one spirit, we shall be baptized into one body, and that is the body of Christ. Not uniting with the Antichrist system, but being one with Jesus Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, hopefully, beloved, you understand and take it very seriously. Finally, again, to emphasize, first God makes promises. And as I said before, when John the Baptist was to have his ministry, his birth was announced, and he could say in John chapter 1, he that sent me to baptize said, upon him you see the Spirit of God descend. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Every true servant of God received direct instructions of what pertains and goes with his call. And so it is now, with this last call, the greatest purpose is connected, that God's people would be ready for the return of the Lord. And as the scripture says, our Lord speaking in Matthew 25, verse 10, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was closed. Why I'm here today? I want you to prepare. I want you to be restored. I want you to be ready for the return of... I would not be here for no reason, for no other reason. There's one reason. Because of the divine commission, I have to take the last message, the promised word of God for this day, to the nations. And I'm here today to tell you the return of Christ is imminent. I'm here to tell you, only those who prepare and be restored and are ready will go into the marriage supper of the Lamb, you go to Revelation chapter 19, and then you go to Revelation chapter 22. Finally, the bride of Christ will be so united that it will be fulfilled. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Have you ever heard a child of God up till now to pray, Lord Jesus, come, we're waiting for you? Have you heard? But finally, finally, the Spirit and the bride will say, come. And why? Because we're called out, we're restored, we're brought back to the original foundation, original teachings about Godhead, about water baptism. Every Bible doctrine is being restored. And as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrines of the apostles, and in the breaking of bread, in fellowship and in prayer. We don't go back to any Nicene Creed. To be very honest, I don't care about the Nicene Creed. Why should I? It's not in the Bible. Only what's in the Bible is biblical. And only what is in the Scripture is Scripture. Everything else, forget it. Just forget it. It's man-made. It's man-made. Why should I believe a Nicene Creed? Why should I believe a dogma? It's not in the Bible. Why should I believe it? Back to the Word of God. Forget all the other things. Come back to God. Respect the Word of God. Be found in the Word of God. And only if you're in the Word of God, you're in the will of God. And this is the day the Lord has made for you to hear His Word, to hear the promised Word of God for this day. Please don't miss the day of your visitation. This is your day. Come out, be restored, be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, you know my broken heart. I would love to see everyone present, ready for your return. I would love to see the bride of Christ united by one Spirit, baptized into one body. But I also would like to say that everyone is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as you told us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Dear Lord, I pray that everyone present will hear and receive and believe the word of truth. All the promises of God, which are yea and amen, that we become children of the promise. Lord, I pray that this will take place today and from this day onward, that we remain in your word, in your will, in your promises, and see them fulfilled. Lord, I also pray for the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. Lord, may we soon see the day, the time, when the Spirit can speak through the bride. So even come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, wash us all in the blood of the Lamb. May we all be sanctified in the truth. Thy word is the truth. May we all be led by the Holy Spirit, as it is written, Those who are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. Dear Lord, I pray that today will happen a full and total victory, that every enemy is conquered and laid to your footstool. You are the great conqueror. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And no other word is found in the bride of Christ, just the words of the bridegroom. Dear Lord, may all be separated from unbelief, from all things which are not according to your word, and be brought back, restored by the grace and power of God. Lord, I claim every soul that heard your word today and believe that I will see them again in glory. I pray especially for our ministering brethren, and I pray for those who are directly called to share the spiritual food with God's people at this time. Make us obedient, Lord, to follow you, believing and obeying you. Bless us, bless the city, bless the country, bless your people in a special way, and we shall give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few words. I thank you for coming, and especially the ministering brethren, may God bless you, may he be with you, use you, like our two brothers. We had a trip, good trip, to Malawi and Zambia. I think several thousand people heard the word of God in these two countries. It was just a very, very blessed time. And tomorrow will be my last day in this country. And pray for me, that the last ones would be called wherever they might be. And once again, may God bless you and be with you. And if we don't see one another on earth, waiting to see you when the Lord returns. Closing with what I saw in January 1981, when I was dying with malaria tropica. I've been to Eastern African countries and came up to Accra in Ghana, and there I got the malaria, and it was so bad that they gave me up, and the whole doctor team just said it's too late, and I was pushed in a room where people die. A curtain here and a curtain here. I could not speak anymore, and I knew I was leaving. But I wanted to say these words: Dear Lord, how do I stand? How do I appear in your presence? And the next moment, I was taken out of the body under the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, I saw the white-dressed multitude, a white-dressed multitude, which in that dimension you can see, I tell you, it was wonderful. And all were young. And all were young. At that time, I did not know what is written in Job 33, verse 25, that we all shall be placed back into the days of our youth. So in the resurrection, there will be no trace of sin, no trace of sickness, no trace of old age. Nobody will go like this. No, no, no. Perfect, perfect, perfect in body, soul, and spirit forever and ever. We shall be with the Lord. I don't tell you the whole experience. It was just wonderful. May the grace of God be with you. Thank you, brethren, for inviting us. Thank you especially for the two brothers, Brother Cesar and Brother Gideon. And God bless the rest of all of you. And keep peace among one another. Love one another. Appreciate one another. Only perfect love will enter there. Only perfect love will enter there. And one more statement, I just feel to read it to you, what Brother Branham said. Not only perfect love, but to hear every word of God and to believe it. I read from the sermon, Broken Sister. And here it is on page 13. He said that the evidence of the Spirit was with those who could receive the word, not only love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word. And then the next paragraph. So there is a genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. He has never told me anything wrong. That it is. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is in him who can believe every word of God and who can receive it. So, beloved, have the love of God and the love of God for the word of God. If you love God, love one another, and we shall see the glory of God. God bless you and be with you. Amen.